Morning, everyone. Good to see you all here today. My goodness. Jody, thank you for sharing that this morning. Our God is good. Our God is good. He is so good. And He's more than good. You're absolutely right. I feel like after what Jody shared, I may be a letdown. To you this morning, because what that was so powerful about God's hand and God's caring. But I want to talk to us this morning about stretching. Well, I got my friend up here for stretching. Here he comes. Here we go. That's a self-portrait, by the way. Looking good, yeah? Stretching. It's important that we understand what stretching is for us in our lives, and we need to do it in our lives. And I stretch my body a lot, and I thought about doing some stretches, but I thought, no, that's just wrong to do that here this morning, so I won't do that. I either get hurt or I get banned from the church, one or the other. So I'm not going to do that this morning with you or to you, I should say, along the way. But I did bring with me this morning one of these. Now, anybody who's really a gym enthusiast and, you know, can bench press 300 pounds are going, you wimp. But you know what these are? These are what they call resistance bands. They are rubber tubing. And the whole idea behind these is that you attach them to something and then they will give you resistance and they will stretch as you work them, pump you up, get you going along the way. Now, is there some things that we can learn just about stretching, even from these little guys, these little pieces of rubber tubing along the way that we need to look at? First of all, it'll help us as we go on in our discussion this morning, because if it's just, these things are just like that, they're of no use. You can say you've got exercise equipment, but if you don't use it, it's of no use. It's like sitting down at the TV and watching an exercise video and saying, wow, that was a good workout. But at the same time, you're eating potato chips and drinking pop while you watch it on TV. And did you exercise today? For 30 minutes. I was there. I saw it. No lie, I did it. I was actually at the gym here a while back, and there was a lady came into the gym. And she walked in, and she was texting on her cell phone from the time she sat down at the machines until the time she left. She walked in, sat down at the machines, was texting. Did nothing but text. After about a half an hour, she got up and left. She had her half hour at the gym right there. I could just see it right now. She did that workout and had it in, and she could go home and tell her friends, I did my half hour at the gym. Aren't you proud of me? And so some of those exercises and some of those stretchings that we do are not terribly great. But let me just talk about these guys for a minute. By themselves, they're nothing. They only become beneficial when you stretch them. That's when they become beneficial. And as you stretch them, it's amazing. The further you stretch them, the more power they have in them. The more power they want to pull back. In fact, some of you are hoping that my foot will slip and you'll see how much power as it hits me in the face. Along the way, and I know who you are. And that's what these will do. They stretch. And when they stretch, they're doing their work. When they stretch, they're creating energy, they're creating force, they're doing things that are necessary to allow them to be functioning the way that they should. My body, when I stretch my body and I do those things, I've got a problem with a sciatic nerve. Anybody got a problem with a sciatic nerve? Okay, I went to the chiropractor. Chiropractor said, do these stretches. She showed it to me. I said, you've got to be kidding. This is a pretzel stretch. This is the leg out, the leg over, turn sideways, grab your ankle, and hang on for 30 seconds. Okay, it's one of those kinds of stretches. I can almost do it. When I do it, my sciatic nerve is good. When I don't do it, I'm limping around like crazy. The benefit of stretching. Spiritually, I want to talk about stretching spiritually because there's so many similarities with it along the way. There's health benefits to it when we physically do it, but there's spiritual health benefits when we stretch. We need to learn how to stretch spiritually. We need to learn how to be able to get beyond our comfort zones and to stretch into things that God has for us and to move into the things that are stretches for us spiritually. Because stretching is all about getting out of your comfort zone. It's about making you do something that you're uncomfortable with so that you will grow and be better. It's just, okay, I got to grow and be better, so I've got to get out of my comfort zone to be able to get there. So this morning we're going to look at a few characters and a few situations in the Bible, and we're going to see how they were stretched and how God used them and created something greater and better in their lives along the way. Most of these stories you're very familiar with, very, very familiar with because they're very common stories. But the first one we're going to take a look is in John. John chapter 6. This is the feeding of the 5,000. And in this story of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus had just finished teaching, you know, and as the people came, were about to leave, the disciples came and Jesus says, we got to feed these guys. In some of the other gospels, Jesus turns to them and says, you feed them. Here, Philip says, we don't have enough money to feed them. And Jesus said, Jesus said to Philip, where can we buy bread to feed these people? And he said this to stretch Philip's faith, for Jesus already knew what he was going to do. There was a stretching here of Philip's faith. There was a stretching, hey, Philip, you say there's not enough money here. What do you think we should do? Philip, you go and feed them. And Philip's going, what? You mean I got to feed them? It's not possible. And I can just see Philip's response there. Jesus' response there. You know, Jesus had a sense of humor. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesus had a sense of humor. And I think as he's looking at Philip, he gets his little grin, and he says to himself, just wait and see. Just wait and see. One of the disciples, it was Andrew, brother Simon Peter, said, there's a little boy over here has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but that's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this. And Jesus said, make the people sit down, and there was a nice carpet of green grass in this place. They sat down, about 5,000 of them, and then Jesus took the bread, and having given thanks, he gave it to those who were seated, and they did the same with the fish, all ate as much as they wanted. Stretching Philip's faith. Our faith gets stretched, or has an opportunity to stretch, more than we ever know. We're in situations where more than we ever know what we're going to do and how we're going to work it through, how we're going to find the answers. And God says at those times, that's where your faith can stretch. Physical stretching is good for your body in terms of helping your heart and your cardiovascular and your muscles and everything else that you do. It's good for all of those parts of your body, physical stretching. Spiritual stretching will give you strength and will cause you to grow and will give you spirit flow in your body as you start to take steps of faith. And some of that spiritual stretching makes it really difficult when we don't understand where God wants to take us. Because if just the same way that if you don't use your muscles will begin to atrophy? What is it? They begin to atrophy? Okay. They begin to atrophy and they become atrophied, and that's the atrophal possible thing that will happen if you let it happen to you. So your muscles begin, and that means to atrophy, your muscles just begin to dwindle. They're still there, but there's no mass to them. There's no strength to them. There's no strength to your physical muscle if you're not using it. Your faith and your walk with God is a big spiritual muscle. That's what it is. It's a spiritual muscle. And you have to use that spiritual muscle to keep it strong and to keep it growing. And otherwise you get stuck in this place of a comfort zone. And a comfort zone can be a place where God exists, but in reality we start to say we really don't need him here because everything is good and I've got it under control. You know what I mean by those comfort zones? We can live in that place. I'm good. What do you need God to do for you today? You know, well, you know, we're struggling, but you know what? I'm good. I really don't need God to help me today. Things are going along. I'm good. See, one of the things that, as Jody shared her story this morning, that struck me was that this is a family of faith. And they live and breathe and talk about their faith with God. Their faith muscle is working every day for their family, for their situation, for their church, for their own lives. Their faith muscle is pumping. It's being made stronger every day. And when a situation like this happens where the accident takes place, faith is already in place to be able to work in the midst of that for them. And the grace of God comes along and works to bring about the strength, the healing, and the protection that they need. It was not, oh no, what do we do now? It was God. God, you start to work. And then God, thank you for what you did. Thank you for what you did. Some of us, even as Christians, we would go, wasn't it lucky that tree was there? Gosh, that was such a cool thing. That the tree was there to save his life. There was no luck. God put the tree there. God put the tree there. Stuff happens because we live in a fallen world. Stuff happens because the enemy is alive and he wants to try and destroy us. Stuff happens in this world in which we live. But in the midst of all this stuff happening, God is happening even more. God says, here's the tree. Devil, you want to try to do something nasty to this family? Here's the tree. I will protect them. Why? Because their faith muscle had been being used. Philip's faith was tested when Jesus said, come on, you need to be able to do what's right. Because when we get to the next point, it'll go over to the next verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says this, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. He's not going to come around and beat you over the head and say, you better believe me. He's going to come to you and say, will you believe me? Will you trust me? Will you stretch that faith muscle? We're going to see some other ways and this is going to take place. Will you stretch that faith muscle? Sometimes we've got to stretch so God can do the stretch to believe that God can do the impossible. That's really nice and easy to read. We go, yeah. That's really good for us as a Christian. We should do that. When you get to where the rubber meets, when you get to where it's real, that's when your faith has to stretch. Most of us respond to a statement like this from our comfort zone. Yes, I believe God can do the impossible because I don't need him to do the impossible right now. Right? So we sit in that comfort zone, and I really don't need him to do this right now. But yes, I believe God can do the impossible. It's when you need him to do the impossible, that's when you stretch. That's when your faith grows. That's when you start to experience the reality of the power of God. That's when you take it and it's under your faith is under tension. That's where there's the greatest strength that comes. Because the more tension that's under, the greater the strength that will come for you as a result of it in your life. And so we need to be able to go through that process and understand this is what God wants us to do. It's strength to believe that God can stretch to believe that God can do the impossible in our lives. Another story I want us to look at is found over in 2 Kings chapter 5. With a fellow by the name of Naaman and Elisha. Let me tell you this story for the sake of time. Naaman was an officer in who served under the king of Aram. And the king, Naaman got leprosy. And he tried everything. Didn't work. Finally, he heard there was a prophet of God, who his servant told him, you go to him. That God will heal you. This is a big God. He's bigger than leprosy. He's bigger than anything you've ever seen. This is a big God. You go to him. So Naaman went to the king of Aram and said, King, can I go? King said, yeah, go. And off they went to see Elisha. Naaman brought with him all kinds of gifts and had a big parade of officers and gifts coming with him. When they got to where Elisha was, Elisha sent out his servant, and Naaman told him his story, and the servant went back to Elisha inside, and Elisha said, oh, tell him to go bathe in the Jordan River 7 times. He came back out and said to Naaman, he said, Elisha says, go bathe in the Jordan River 7 times, and went back in the house, which really ticked Naaman off. He got real upset about that because he said, I thought at the very least he would come out, he would wave his hands around, he would put his hands over top of me, and he would say this prayer and maybe do some incantations or do something like that, and then God would heal me. Maybe he would do at least that. And so Naaman was really upset that he got this sort of servant coming, say, oh, just go bathe in the Jordan River 7 times. And he said, the Jordan River, that's the dirty river. There's rivers around here that are cleaner, that are much nicer. That's the dirty river. I don't want to go into the dirty river. Can't I go bathe in one of the cleaner rivers? Come on. And his servant came to him and said, Naaman, if the great man of God had told you to go and do something fantastic and powerful, would you do it? He said, yes. The servant said, because he's asked you to do the simple thing, will you not do it? Naaman said, okay, I will go. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored. It says flesh was restored as that of a young man. He had to stretch. He had to stretch about in how he thought God was going to do it. Sometimes we put God's going to do this way, or God has to do this way. Sometimes we like putting God in a box, and as soon as you put God in a box, God's going to go, I'm not going to be in your box. I'm going to do something different than you ever thought. In the Old Testament, God told a naked man to run around to the villages proclaiming the coming vengeance of God. God told him to do that. You know that Jesus himself spat on the ground to make mud to stick in a guy's eyes to heal him? God did that. You know that God told David one point in time when they were going into battle, he said the signal to go into battle is you wait until you hear the sound of the army marching in the tops of the trees. Really? Yeah. Tops of the trees, they're going to be marching. Listen for that sound. You know that God told one of the prophets of God that, hey, I want you to go out and I want you to cook your meals, but I want you to cook them over human dung. That has to be your fuel. You cannot cook them over anything else. It has to be over human dung. Okay. See, as soon as you tell God, you think that you know how God's going to work, and you put him in a box? He says, I'm not to be in your box. Because I'm God. And I'm bigger than your box. And everything that God did, which is sort of, we look at it, we go, why did he do it that way? Why did he do it that way? Why didn't Jesus just go, boop, and they were healed? Why did all this other stuff going on? Why is all this going on? It's to show us and to let us know that God is God. And we have to let God do what God's going to do. We have to recognize that God is going to do it his way, not our way. And Naaman was there, and he's saying, God's, you know, this man of God's got, he's trying to make me go and bathe in this river. He didn't even come out and see me. What's this all about? And all he had to do was obey what God was telling him to do. Sometimes we have to believe, stretch our faith to believe that what God says, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it doesn't make sense. God comes along and he says to us in his word, this is how we need to act in a situation. We need to pray and believe. God says you have to have faith and believe in this situation. We have to have faith and believe. God says this is right and this is wrong. No matter if society says that this is right, that this wrong thing is right, doesn't make it right. So you have to understand and stand by what the word of God says, not what society says around you. Even when society says, oh, you're just caught way back in those dark ages. Right and wrong is right and wrong. The Bible tells us clearly what right and wrong is. There's no difference in right and wrong. God's consistent throughout all of history of right and wrong. Morally right is morally right. Morally wrong is morally wrong. God says those things are consistent. But sometimes it takes, we have to stretch to believe what God says, even when it doesn't make sense to us. Well, God, you don't understand my situation. Yes, he does. Trust him. It's a stretch sometimes. Sometimes you gotta stretch. I gotta be like those rubber bands. I gotta stretch. I gotta. Okay, this is right. So in order for me to get there, I gotta stretch. I gotta believe that what God's wanting to do is right. I gotta stretch. Well, this is another story of Elisha, just found up in the next chapter in Isaiah chapter, pardon me, 2 Kings chapter 6, starting in verse 13. It's the story of Elisha and his servant. Now, this king that had allowed Naaman to come is now coming against Israel and trying to attack it and trying to destroy it. He really wants to get them wiped out. He's really trying to get rid of them. But every time the king of Aram sends out his army against Israel, God tells Elisha what he's doing, and Elisha tells the king of Israel, hey, they're coming over here. They're going to be coming this way. They're coming through this valley. They're going to come and try and come around behind us this way. And every time the armies of Aram were moving, Elisha told, through God told Elisha, who told then also what was going on. And they found out that it was Elisha who was doing this. So the king of Aram sent his armies to surround Elisha. Elisha was out with his servant. And the army surrounded them. And as the army surrounded them, the servant got up in the morning and went out and saw the army with horses and chariots that surrounded the city. And he says, oh no, my Lord, talking to Elisha, my Lord, what shall we do? There are so many times where we can get to that place where we get up and we go, oh man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I just don't know what I'm going to do. In fact, it looks like it's really, really bad right now. It looks like the situation is really, really bad. I don't know what I am going to do. I don't know what's going to take place. I am wrapped up in what could be here, and we're flip-flopping around all the struggles with it. Remember that faith and fear are opposite sides of the same coin. They both put an expectation on the future. Faith and fear both do the same thing, but they're opposite sides of that. And when we talk about fear coming in against us, it's because we're afraid of what's going to happen. When we talk about faith coming for us, we're talking about what's going to happen. So this servant of Elisha said, what are we going to do? Now the rest of the story, as Earl Nightingale used to say, the rest of the story is that Elisha prayed and he said, Lord, open the eyes of my servant so that he may see. And then the servant looked up again at the great armies of Aram that were around him. And what he saw then was the great army of God that was around. The chariots, the horses, the flashing swords of God's army had surrounded them, and they were greater, far greater than this army of Aram. And all of a sudden it was, okay. See, that servant's faith had to be stretched. Elisha's faith had been stretched already. He knew what to expect of God. He knew what God could and would do. The servant's faith needed to be stretched. And in the midst of the chaos now, he learned what was really there, the army of God. See, stretching is something that we need to be able to continue on as well, to be able to work in our lives. It's not something that happens once. And if it does, we're going to find that our stretching process is going to be very effective for us. It's like, okay, I exercised on the 2nd of January, I fulfilled my New Year's resolution. Okay, that doesn't cut it. It's not going to do it for you. To say, I had faith for God once, back in 1993, not going to do it for you. It's constant. Sometimes we get into situations where we are stressed, and we are stressed, and we are stressed, and we are praying, God, get me out of this. Ever found yourself there? Lord, I don't care what you got to do, God. Just get me out of this. Just get me out of this thing. God, we want God to come along and to do this fantastic miracle and powerful thing, and to do it like that, and so that all of a sudden everything changes from black to white instantly, and all of a sudden we're free and everything's good, and all of our burdens are gone and everything's great, and I don't have to worry about anything anymore in any way, shape, or form, and I just God, come and just do, just in this situation, just come and do that. I want you to change it. I want there to be a magical waving of your godly wand to change the situation. And often God doesn't work that way. He can. On occasion, he's done it. But that's the exception, not the rule. The rule is that he says when we are in the midst of those places, we have a choice. We have a choice to stretch or to shrink. You've got a choice. He's not going to make you do one or the other. He's not going to say to you, bang, you have to, and then all of a sudden just it becomes natural for you to do it. It's a choice. God says to you, okay, you're in this now. You're in this situation right now. What are you going to do in this situation right now? Are you going to shrink back into fear? Or are you going to stretch forward into faith? Are you going to move? Are you going to create something more? Are you going to move ahead in this? Are you going to believe that God is still God? Are you going to believe that God is still with you? Are you going to believe that God is still working? Are you believe that God is still in control? Are you going to believe that God is something good in the midst of all of this for you, and that he can be your strength and he can be your power because he loves you so much? Are you going to believe that? Or are you going to pull away and start saying, God abandoned me. God left me. God says, come on, let's go. Imagine if Elisha had not stretched in his faith, in his hope, in his life, spiritually. The servant comes running. We're surrounded by the enemy. Elisha goes, oh no! We must try to escape or we'll give ourselves up. But Elisha stood and said, that's nothing. Do you want to see what's really going on? Man, I'd love to have that kind of faith working in my life every day. Wouldn't you? That calm assurance in our lives every day that no matter what coming at us, we go, God, you got this. Yeah, I still hurt. Yeah, the situation is still there. But God, you got this. There was a time in my life when I actually got to the place where I said, you know, what's the point in praying? It doesn't change anything. The problems are still there. Anybody ever been brave enough to admit that at all? Okay. Okay, we got three of you that are truthful. The rest of you are a bunch of liars. Sorry. God. What's the point? The point is, are you going to stretch? Because when we start to see miracles happen in our lives and around us and for other people, miracles almost always happen as a result of stretching. You will not see God miraculously move and his power of God work in your life or in the life of anybody else unless you stretch into it. It doesn't happen without stretching. Stretching in obedience, stretching in faith, stretching all along the way. And let me just tell you something about obedience. You don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. You can obey immediately even when you don't understand completely. So when God says, come on, you got it. We need to do this. We need to take this step of faith. We need to express it. You need to grow in this thing. Well, God, I don't understand. He goes, I know you don't understand. But understand this. I'm God, and I'm telling you to do it. And that's all we need to know. To start taking those steps of faith that are so important. So important to understand who he wants. David and Goliath, a great example of stretching. David, this is such a common story, I don't need to give you the whole story, but let me give you a little bit about David, though, just to remind you. David was a shepherd out in the fields. And as a shepherd, a young boy out in the fields, he had learned how to kill the lion and the bear that would come and steal the sheep. He learned how to do that. He had gone out, he says it himself in this chapter. He says, I've been out, and when the lion has come and has taken a lamb from my flock, I've gone out, I've hunted down that lion, and I have killed it, and I've grabbed the lamb, and I've brought it back. He'd learned how to do that. He had stretched himself in his life to be able to know what needed to be done, to be able to know what he could do. He'd stretched himself to do that. He also had stretched himself in his understanding of God. His understanding of who God is and what God could do was greater than King Saul's and greater than all the rest of the army of Israel. Because David got up there when Goliath came out and challenged Israel. He said, hey, send out your biggest and best guy and we'll fight. And whoever wins the fight here, then the other side will become the rulers of those who of the guys that lost. Come on, send him out, send him out, come on, come on. And he would come out and he'd bellow away, big ugly guy. You know he wasn't handsome. He's ugly. He was a Philistine. I hate those guys. And he came out. David said, who is this Philistine guy? He said, who is this big ugly guy? Who is he that defies God? Who is he that defies God? Doesn't he understand who God is? And what's the matter with the rest of you guys on this side over here? Don't you understand who God is? I've learned, he says, I've learned. I've been stretched in my life to understand who God is. I've been stretched to know who he is. I've been stretched to know who I am in him. I've been stretched to know that my God is powerful. And I've been stretched to know that you can't mock my God and expect to win. I've been stretched to that place. So he comes in, this little boy who'd been stretched and had grown in his faith more than anybody else in Saul's army. And he gets out there and he comes up there and he says there, okay, now, which one of you is going to go out there and do the fight? You're not going to do it. Okay, I'm going to do it. Let's go. He says, this day, as he goes out to meet Goliath, Goliath mocks him. And David says, this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Why? Because he is God. And you're not. See, sometimes we need to stretch in our faith to know what God has for us, because we come up against giants all the time. There's giants in your life. There's giants that will come and it'll eat away at your heart. It'll eat away at your faith. It'll eat away at your patience. It'll eat away at your nerves. It'll eat away at you. Just annoying. And it will come and it will stand in your face and it will defy you and your beliefs. And some of you at work are dealing with that on a constant basis, where those you face defy you and your beliefs. They may mock you and your beliefs. And we need to stretch to be able to know who God is. Because ultimately, we need to stretch to believe that God is bigger than any giants that we face. We got to stretch to believe that. We don't automatically believe that. We still let the vision of the giant cause us to be in fear. But we need to stretch to that place so that we know where God's leading and what God wants to do. To be able to experience all the things that God's trying to work in our lives. We need to do that. Pastor Joel has been working through a series on Mark chapter 6. And in Mark chapter 6, Jesus, the next section that we're going to be looking at in chapter 6, that Pastor Joel will pick up next week, is here in chapter 6, starting in verse 6. Let me just read it. Then Jesus went around teaching from the village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. Then they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil, and he healed them. Up to this point in time, the disciples have been working and following with Jesus. He was there, and Jesus was doing the healing, and for the most part, he was doing all those things. The disciples were just like going, wow, wow, wow. He's turning water into wine. He's walking on water. He's healing the sick. He's raising people up who were lame. He's giving sight back to the blind. Wow. Now Jesus says to them, okay, your turn. It's your turn. You go out. Don't take anything with you other than what your bare essential needs are right now. You go out. And it wasn't just for a day or two. They're going from town to town. Some theologians think he sent them out for 3 months. Possibly more. You're going out. Go to a town. When you get to that town, stay there. In a house. Stay there until do with the ministry of God that I've been telling you about. Now, talk about being stretched. They've been hanging around with Jesus. And at the word of Jesus, people were healed. At the word of Jesus, the sight was given. At the word of Jesus, the dead were raised. At the word of Jesus, miracles took place. And Jesus says, okay, now you go do it. Wow, talk about stretching. Okay, let's go. And I can just see them going out there, two by two. And you know what? There would be at least a few of the guys who are not quite as bold as others. I can see Peter. He's going out there. Oh, we're going to do this. Peter's going out there. Some of the others, maybe not so much. And they get to a town and they see a situation there and they're going, well, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. You go do the Jesus thing first. But you know what happened? As they stretched, as they took the step of faith, the things that they'd taken in their eyes and in their ears and had gotten down into their heart and to their soul, it now was going to come out of them in action. And they stretched it. There's a lot of stretching that needs to take place between here and here and here. There's a lot that we know about God. I've heard it said that we are educated way beyond our level of obedience, particularly when it comes to things of God. We know more about Him than we're obedient to. The stretch comes going from here to here to here. Because it's got to go from your head, it's got to come into your heart so you know it in your knower, right? You get it down in your knower, and you know it in your knower, then you can't get rid of it. If it's stuck up here, it's just head knowledge. But down here, this is your knower, right? This is what you really know. Once it's in your knower, it's got to be in your doer. And as you start to do what you know, there's a stretch that takes place. There's a stretch that allows us to do and be what God wants us to do and be. There's a stretch that God wants us to accomplish in our lives, in everything that we're doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. This won't be on the screen, so let me just give this to you. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this: "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the image, into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." We being transformed by the Spirit from glory to glory. We see the glory of God and the glory of God working in us. The two is the stretch part. Right? We're stretching from what we see the glory and power of God in to God working in us in it all. There's that stretch part that's there. That stretch part that's so essential for us to be able to experience and see everything that God has for us. We have to step out of the middle. We have to step out of those places where we're struggling, where we don't know what's going on. And we've got to stretch. Because just as with this, if I stretch a little, there's not much power there. There's nothing there. Okay, yeah, I stretched a little. Okay, now it's fighting me. Now it's got power. Now there's some strength to it there. But there's not a lot of strength here. There's no power here. There is here. Same with us. Okay, we go, okay, God, you can stretch me just a little. Don't stretch me too much. God says, the more you stretch, the more you'll know my power. And the more you know my power, the more you'll be able to see it and use it. Because the power of God comes to shape and mold us and to stretch us where he wants us to go. This morning I can guarantee that for most of you, we are at a place where we need to be stretched somehow, somewhere. There's something that we struggle with. There's something that we've just sort of accepted it as it is. There's something that we've not let God give us everything that we need in, or what we say, God, you know, I don't know what to do to go on, so I'm just going to back off and stay where I am. Stretching is painful. I don't like stretching when I stretch. I don't like it. I do that pretzel stretch for my sciatic. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But the end result is I'm pain-free. There's power in the stretch. If I don't do the full stretch, I don't get relief from the pain. There's no power in it. If I get halfway into the twist, okay, and I just, okay, and I hold it for like 2 seconds, not going to do it. The power comes, and the result comes because the stretch is something that I go through, and it is often uncomfortable. Right now, there's stretching that's taking place in your lives, and you're in the middle of it, and you're saying, God, this is too uncomfortable. I don't want to face this anymore. I don't want to struggle with this anymore. I'm so uncomfortable with this. I'm so uncomfortable with this. God, won't you just come and just do something miraculous for me right now where I am? And he can, but most of the time what he's saying is, I want to see you not fight to get out of it, but fight to get through it. Do you understand the difference? I want to see you not retreat, but gain victory. That's what stretching will do for you in your walk with God. Stretching will teach you how to gain victory. Stretching will teach you how to get the power of God working in your life. If you just want to bail out of the situation, all you get is retreat and you get no strength. You get retreat. Sometimes God comes and does a miracle and he does that, bang, it's done. We go, praise God. And it's to give us strength too, to stretch us because we saw what God did. But most of the time we are in this place of stretching because God says, in the place of discomfort, because he says, I want you to stretch. And sometimes we're in this place of discomfort longer than we need to be because we're not learning to stretch. I believe that beyond the shadow of a doubt. Voice of experience. So I encourage you this morning, stretch. Here's the things. Next. How to stretch your faith. You need to stretch your faith to believe God for the impossible. You need to stretch your faith to believe God when it doesn't make sense. You need to stretch your faith to believe God when what you see gives you no hope. You need to stretch your faith when you believe that God is bigger than any giant, so that you can believe that God is bigger than any giant that you may face. And you need to stretch your faith to believe that you can do what Jesus said you can do. The disciples, he said, go and do it, and they did it. Stretch your faith. Maybe you need one of these particularly. Maybe you need them in all these. Maybe you need them some other way. Stretch your faith. Stretch your faith. Growth comes through that stretching. Strength comes through that stretching. Let God give that to you. God bless that in you. Would you stand up with me? As we pray together, I want you to just, before the Lord, just ask him where he wants you to stretch. Where do you want me to stretch, Lord? What part of me do you want to stretch in my walk with you? Is it obedience? Is it faith in some area? Is it in believing what you've said about me? Is it in believing your word? Where do I need to stretch? Where do I need to stretch? Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is powerful and that you are a powerful God. That it's your desire to shape us and mold us to be more and more like you. You want to use us to build your kingdom. Whether it be in our homes or in our jobs or in our church, God, you want to use us. We are important to you, God, and I thank you for that. You've declared that we are important, each one of us. And God, as we examine ourselves before you now, I pray that your Spirit will speak to us and will bring to our minds now where each of us need to stretch in you. Help us to know the areas that we can grow in you. Help us to know how we can become stronger. Because too, Lord, we know that it's not just about us, that when you lead and guide us and you make us stronger and you guide us, that you use us then in those areas to help others. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now may the grace and peace of God, the power of His Spirit, His presence in your life be with you. May He reign in your homes and in your workplace and through you this week. May His hand be on you in all that you do. May He give you peace and strength. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Amen. We've got communion for those who would like to take it this morning. We've got prayer teams that will be here for you if you'd like prayer. Let the Lord come and minister to you and to give you strength and maybe even help you to stretch a bit. God bless you.